And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
This is Sydney Wildsmith, and welcome to the Wildside News. Today we will cover the latest nature news, then talk with Jeff Jarvis with the BLM about wilderness in 2004, and Marshall Case, president of the American Chestnut Foundation, about the grand forest they are helping to restore, and then with Bennett Abrams, naturalist and sculptor, who creates monumental life replicas of trees with his company, Nature Makers. Get ready for another great adventure here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
This is Sydney Wildsmith, and welcome back. And now, the news. From Cape San Blas, Florida, the National Marine Fisheries Service launched an investigation Tuesday into the high number of dolphin deaths along the panhandle and beaches of Florida. 38 confirmed deaths have been reported. A possible cause is red tide, a toxic algae, which kills sea creatures when it blooms in significant enough concentrations. Symptoms suggest its presence. According to Wendy Noak, a researcher with Hub's SeaWorld Research Institute in Orlando, the dolphins appeared to be in good nutrition, nutritional condition when they died. Test results are pending. Cape San Blas is about 85 miles southwest of Tallahassee. From The Observer, global warming may become a national security threat by the year 2020. According to a report held secret by the Pentagon. The document was commissioned by influential defense advisor Andrew Marshall, who holds considerable sway with Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. The report warns that major European cities will be sunk beneath rising seas as Britain is plunged into a Siberian climate by 2020. Nuclear conflict, mega droughts, famine, and widespread rioting will erupt across the world. Climate change should be elevated beyond a scientific debate to a U.S. national security concern, says the authors, Peter Schwartz, CIA consultant, and former head of planning at Royal Dutch Shell Group, and Doug Randall of the California-based Global Business Network. The report predicts significant disruption of millions along seashores as waters rise. Bob Watson, chief scientist for the World Bank and former chair of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, added that the Pentagon's dire warnings could no longer be ignored. We will cover this story as it develops. From Geneva, the World Wildlife Foundation warned that the Sumatran tiger was bound for extinction if the government of Indonesia did not crack down on illegal trading of the endangered species. The foundation said only 400 to 500 tigers remained on the island of Sumatra. From Reno, Nevada, Interior Secretary Gail Norton continues to promote the President's Healthy Forest Initiative by asking Congress to approve $760 million to reduce the risk of wildfires by thinning forests and rangelands. The Healthy Forest Initiative seeks to address fire dangers by thinning forests throughout the system. Jay Watson of the Wilderness Society agrees with the hazardous fuels reduction around communities, but still objects to thinning in more unspoiled areas. He encourages ecological restoration and bringing fire back into the system. Washington, D.C. An alliance of labor, environmental, civil rights, business, and political leaders in the United States have laid out a vision for a new Apollo project to create 3.3 million jobs and achieve energy independence in 10 years. The Apollo Alliance aims to unify the country behind a 10-year program of strategic investment for clean energy technology and new infrastructure. The project, which relies on proposed tax credits and investment, would create 3.3 million new high-wage jobs for manufacturing, construction, transportation, high-tech, and public sector workers, while reducing dependence on imported oil and cleaning the air. the project is attracting increasing interest by politicians, businesses, and the public at large. And from Beijing, Chinese veterinarians have begun showing American-born panda Hui Mei sex education videos featuring pandas mating to prepare her for blind dates with Chinese suitors, the official Xinhua news agency reported Tuesday. As Hua Mei has lived her entire life in captivity, she has not had the opportunity to witness natural mating behavior. The sex videos in the past have aided pandas in successful mating behaviors. And that's the news for now from the Wild Side News. And now, this is Sydney Wildsmith, and I want to make a few announcements to our listeners out there, our listeners from all around the world, actually, here on WS Radio. The Wild Side News is a new addition to the WS Radio network, and it airs each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. That's noon Eastern here on WS Radio. For those of you who want to tune in live, you can call to talk with our guest by calling our toll-free number, which is 888-327-0061, but not today. Many of our listeners prefer to listen at their convenience anytime, 24 hours a day, from anywhere in the world by going to the Wild Side News Archives. You can listen to a part of the show or the whole show. You can tell your friends to listen to a show or segment that you really enjoyed. Listen again and again. To learn more about the Wild Side News, you can also visit the Wild Side News website at www.wildsidenews.com, where you can learn about upcoming shows and guests, use our calendar of events, head to our news page for access to the best sources of nature in the news, contact the host, access the archives. It's an all-purpose website. And we want to hear from you. We invite you to call during the show. We will answer your calls as we can, but we also want to hear from you with your emails, which you can send to wildsidenews@cox.net, that's cox.net. And I also want to encourage people out there to become regular contributors. This is where it gets to be fun. People who love nature can call in with their breaking news, regional updates, live reports from special events and conferences. We want to cover your events, too, so send us information on things happening in your community. We serve the entire spectrum of nature, from hikers and birders to campers and writers, artists and scientists, gear freaks, and those who get it, that nature is an important part of life. As a matter of fact, nature is life. So visit often, call, email, listen to the archives, and join our family of friends here at WS Radio on the Wild Side News. Well, we have our first guest, Jeff Jarvis. I'm pleased to have you on our show. Jeff is with the BLM. He's a group manager out of Washington, D.C., and this guy has a great job. At least a lot of us, I'm sure, would think so. Jeff, why don't you tell us what you do, what areas you focus on in your work at the BLM in Washington, D.C.?
I'm responsible for the National Trails, the Wilderness Program, and the Wild and Scenic Rivers in the BLM.
That's quite a broad spectrum of areas to cover. I hear that 2004 is kind of an important year for wilderness in America, the American Wilderness System, and I believe you have things to share with our listeners about the American Wilderness System. What can you tell us that would help us better appreciate this treasure?
It was 40 years ago this year that the National Wilderness, that the Wilderness Act passed, 1964. Since then, Congress has blessed America with a large number of wilderness bills. We now have almost 700 wilderness areas spread across the United States with about 105 million acres. It's a great system, and we can visit wilderness areas in almost every state in the Union.
Right, it is. Most of the wilderness exists in the West. I suppose that's because of the grand open spaces. You're on the East Coast there. Are you able to get out to wilderness areas there once in a while?
Well, certainly not as much as when I lived in the West. But we do have a few wilderness areas in Virginia, and I was able to take a family into Ramsey's Draft in the Shenandoahs last summer, and I'm going to start volunteering with Backcountry Horsemen, and I'm looking forward to the wilderness areas they'll show me.
You know, wilderness has a lot of meaning to a lot of different people. What I think would be interesting is for you to give us some idea of what people can do in the wilderness, that would be enjoyable.
Wilderness is among the most protected classes of lands we have in the federal system. Wildernesses are set aside for their long-term protection and conservation. Visitors can enjoy them in a variety of ways, but they are largely set aside for non-motorized recreation. People can go hiking, horseback riding, canoeing, boating, camping, hunting, fishing, sightseeing, a variety of outdoor activities.
Now, also, the wilderness system is actually spread across quite a few different agencies in the federal government. Why don't you talk a little bit about who actually administers the wilderness system?
That's right. There are four agencies that are responsible for the actual wilderness areas. They are the Bureau of Land Management, my agency, the Forest Service, the Fish and Wildlife Service, and the National Park Service. And we work cooperatively to make sure that our policies and programs are similar from agency to agency, but we have our individual responsibilities.
Well, wilderness is a part of an extraordinary American legacy. I think, obviously, in America, we have a legacy that tracks back to the land. And the fact that in 1964... we set up this system really speaks a lot to the importance of the American land to this nation. It's an invaluable legacy, and of course sometimes it comes under fire, and people are curious on you know the future of the wilderness in America. I would assume that people who are in your position to plan really have to think very long range in terms of wilderness. It'd be fun to hear how you go about thinking about those things.
Oh, and it takes more than a half an hour to describe that.
I understand that.
There's a wide number of things you have to think about when you're talking about managing a particular area. We basically have to manage the variety of uses to make sure that we can protect the values that the area was set aside for the long term. Each place has a different set of things that you would have to think about. Some places are relatively pristine and off the beaten path and might be somewhat easy to manage. Other places might have problems with exotic unnatural vegetation that needs to be removed. Some places have a tremendous amount of recreation, and we have to spend a lot of time managing the recreation in them. Some places are set aside more for rare plants or rare animals, and we have to concentrate on their management. So it's different in every place.
Yeah, it's an enormous challenge, and one that I'm sure keeps you very busy. Now, you know, about 10 years ago, you and I actually met up in Santa Fe, New Mexico, during the 30th anniversary of the signing of the Wilderness Act, which was a tremendously wonderful experience back there. And as they say, and we've been talking about, 2004 is the 40th anniversary. So there are events planned, and maybe you can give us some ideas on how we might be able to keep track of the events that will be leading up. Actually, September, I believe it's 3rd, is the actual 40th anniversary date. And there will be certainly a lot of events happening at that time. How might we work together to keep people informed of some of the interesting things that will be happening?
We have an interagency group that works on wilderness that has put together a very informative website. You can look at our website called www.wilderness.net, and it has a specific link that identifies some of the 40th anniversary activities. So that's one way to look at it. Wilderness.net is also a rich source for any of your listeners that are interested in more information on individual areas of what is wilderness, what the legislation is, the history and traditions, the issues in wilderness, a variety of wilderness-related topics.
Yeah, it's an amazing site. There's a wealth of information. If you're interested at all in wilderness, that's wilderness.net. It's a great spot to go to. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for calling in, and I hope that in the future, as things develop, feel free to contact me here at the Wildside News, and keep America and the world informed about the invaluable wilderness legacy.
I'll call you again. Thanks for having me on today.
Okay, Jeff, and thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
That was Jeff Jarvis, group manager with the BLM. in charge of Wilderness, Rivers, and the National Trails Group out of Washington, D.C. This is Sidney Wildsmith with the Wildside News, and I want to welcome all these listeners. This is a new show here on WS Radio. I am excited to be here, and I'm going to be meeting with you, as I say, each Thursday morning at 9 a.m., that is Pacific time, here on WS Radio. And we'll have guests that span the spectrum of people who use nature, well, wilderness and the outdoors, and hikers and bikers and people, kayakers and canoers and artists and just a whole spectrum of very interesting people. And as a matter of fact, in our next segment coming up here, you definitely want to stay tuned, because we're going to be talking with Marshall Case. Marshall Case is a pretty interesting guy, a naturalist, an ecologist, who is the president and CEO of the American Chestnut Foundation. It's based out of Vermont. And their challenge, and his challenge, which he'll be talking to you about, is to bring back the great chestnut forest that once covered the eastern part of the United States. His mission? Plant only 4 billion trees. Sound like a challenge? Well, it is. And so, when we come back, I want to... we'll be talking with Marshall Case, and... So you're listening to the Wildside News Show, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. Stay tuned. We'll be back.